Easter is celebrated in springtime because Jesus' death and resurrection is presumed to have occurred near the Jewish festival of Passover, which also happens in spring. Theologically speaking, though, the season of spring is a wonderful time for Easter because it helps us to get a hold of the deeper truths that Easter is trying to point toward. That sense of emergence and transformation of life after death. And that's something that we can understand after experiencing a harsh reality of winter. Recognizing that despite all the odds, new life can spring forth once more. Now, where I grew up in Western New York, spring is an actual season. It lasts for a few months. This is glorious, okay? It lasts for a few months. It's actually as long as winter. It's so beautiful. There's time in February where you watch the snow melt away, and then in March you start watching the grass begin to green, but not enough to mow. Just it's starting to green, and then in April there's these beautiful flowers and buds that emerge, and it's just kind of this slow, gentle, beautiful experience, kind of like getting a chance to sit down and enjoy a good meal. And then, and I'm guessing that you're already there, there's spring in Minnesota, right? Where one day, and I think this happened this week, one day it is 60 degrees and sunny and I'm out working in my yard, only to find out that the next day it's freezing and there's a blizzard warning slightly north of me and they've closed the highways. Spring in Minnesota is chaotic. It's frustrating. It's messy. It's unpredictable. And I bet most of us would prefer the gradual, savoring, actual season of spring. I know that when I first moved to Minnesota, there were years where I definitely pined away for it because it would have been nicer to have something just gentler and more predictable and just enjoy the moment. But now I live in Minnesota, and it doesn't work that way. And yet there is something about a Minnesota spring that has captivated me. Because in many ways, the chaotic nature of the weather actually feels a lot more like how life is. Sometimes you have a day where life is just beautiful and easy, breezy, and you're just leisurely sitting and enjoying the moment. And the next, you find yourself hanging onto your hat, clinging on for dear life. You know, when I was young, I used to think that once I grew up, life would become very even and predictable, as if it could be timed by a clock and set according to a calendar and plan for that kind of nice, gradual emergence of orderly life to slowly unfold all around me, like that mythical spring that you're wondering about. And yet, what I've found is that life often emerges much more like a messy Minnesota spring, where things are just happening out of sequence, and there's a lot of thrashing around wondering what's going on. And as I think about it, I tend to imagine that very first Easter was a lot more like a Minnesota spring. We're told in the Bible that after 3 years of public ministry, where Jesus taught, healed, loved, and cared for people, he was suddenly arrested, put on trial by his own nation because the religious authorities were upset about him. And we are told that he was handed over to the Roman occupiers, where his own people demanded that he was crucified. And we know that he died before the Sabbath began. And as Amber mentioned, he was betrayed by a friend. He was abandoned. He was publicly mocked. He was shamed, tormented, and died. And in the scriptures, it said that there wasn't time to prepare his body because it was almost the Sabbath. And so they were able to wrap him in linen clothes, but put him in a tomb, and then the women went home, and they were able to prepare from home the spices that were really needed to properly bury him, but they weren't able to complete the task. If we were to reread the account of Jesus' final week, or maybe if you were able to be here for Palm Sunday or watch our Good Friday service, you get a sense and remember that Jesus' final week was chaotic and messy and terrifying and heartbreaking, and it was ugly. And it's in the midst of this very ugliness that we begin our Easter story today. And I want us to remember that it is in the midst of this pain and confusion that is the tone where our gospel reading begins and the women enter. We heard from our reading this morning, according to Luke, that very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women did go to the tomb to bring the fragrant spices they had prepared. And as someone mentioned to me in between, how were they going to get that stone out if it was in the way, right? But they didn't have to worry about it because the stone had been rolled away. And no one explains what they were going to do if it was there. Side note. Either way, they didn't know what to make of what was going on. And it says that clearly. They didn't know what to make of this. And not only did they not know what to make of this scene where the stone was rolled away and Jesus wasn't there, but then Scripture goes on to add that there were two men, presumably angels, who were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing, scared them, says they're frightened, and the angels declare, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised." And he reminds them, "Remember what he told you when he was in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And then Luke says specifically, then they remembered his words being Jesus' words. They had that aha moment. Oh, right. And so the women returned from the tomb, and they told the other disciples about it. But of course, Luke also is very clear to say that even once they told this story, that it says their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. And only Peter ran to the tomb, went over to look inside, saw only a linen cloth, returned home wondering what had happened. And that's where our reading ends for today. It's a strange place to end the story, isn't it? You didn't get to see or hear Jesus. Instead, you only get confusion and disorientation and people wondering what had happened. But I think that is the point of Easter. Because on that very first Easter, when the women showed up, they didn't know what to make of this. They were frightened. Everything seemed like nonsense, and people wondered what was going on. Because this is where Easter begins, in the midst of grief and confusion, where everything is messy and torn apart, and the winds of life are howling around us, and we wonder what's going on, but all we can see are a few scraps of cloth. Easter is that very same moment where we have that voice calling out to us, like the women, in the midst of our confusion, saying, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he has been raised." You see, Easter does not smooth out all the rough edges of life, give us all the answers, or set our lives according to a calendar. But it does call us to look beyond where we have been, to remember what has been promised to us, and to believe that the answers are not laying in an empty tomb. On Easter, we may feel like we are only left with a few scraps of cloth, and maybe even just our tears for now. But Easter shows us tenaciously that in spite of all the odds, new life has begun once more. It is on the move. It is coming. And so today, if you have come and you are feeling the stress of your life or this world, feeling like maybe things are a little bit more like a Minnesota spring, then you are in good hands here. Welcome to the real Easter. We're in the midst of all the chaos, the pain, and our fears. We are met with a disorienting, mysterious truth that in spite of all the odds, resurrection has come. And we may only be clinging on to our grave clothes today, and it may take a lifetime before we begin to make sense of it all, but we have been given the greatest mystery of all, that Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. You see, Easter is the spiritual reality that shows us that spring will always come despite what winter throws, that new life is always on the horizon. And through the power of Jesus' resurrection, we are not left alone. For it's not only Christ who has risen, but we have risen. We have risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.